And now, a different perspective. Lisa Wexler talks with activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Daddy's rich. That's a little bit of Ella. Wayne Winston's in the studio with us. Hey, Wayne.
Hey.
How about a little Ella?
Man.
How about a little summertime?
That song right there is, it's kind of like butter, you know.
Gershwin.
That smooth and that.
He died of a brain tumor at 39 years old. Can you imagine how much more music he would have written?
Man.
Unbelievable, right? What a talent. Unreal. Squished. But what came out of him?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ella singing it.
Yeah.
That's Porgy and Bess. 203-333-9422. We have a pair of tickets to give away. I'm going to forget unless I do it now. So Florence LaRue was just with us of the Fifth Dimension. They're coming to the Richfield Playhouse on August 5th. And I'm going to sing. This is what I'm going to go out on a limb here. And you have to fill in the word. You can call me at 203-333-9422. The first person who gets it right is going to get the pair of tickets. But don't call unless you really can go. It's August 5th. So are you ready? Ready for the trivia question? You just have to fill in the word. This was a pretty famous Fifth Dimension song. Would you like to ride in my beautiful... That's it. And if you know the word, then you ought to go to the concert. 203-333-9422, and we'll be happy to give away a pair of tickets. As the phones light up, go, 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 Andrew. Okay. Hi. How are you today, Wayne?
You know, I want to make sure that people, especially seniors, today is part of the heat wave this week.
Yeah, I know.
And so I believe it's 211. You can call if you're anywhere in your
apartment.
It's not cool.
That's good to know.
Hot.
211-211.
They'll tell you where the cooling center is.
211, yeah. Well, by the way, those of you who have called in to win tickets and we're now at 8 lines, I'm sure that Andrew's going to try and get to as many of you as he can. But if you're just calling to win a pair of tickets, that's fine. But if you want to stay on, we'll be happy to take you during this segment and hear what's on your mind other than that. 203-333-9422. It's good for me to be reminded just how many lines we have in WICC. We have 8 telephone lines, and they've all filled up with people who want to come to the concert with me. We're all going to be there together. 203-333-9422. Honestly, Fifth Dimension was one of my favorite groups of all time.
Understood. That was such a hard question that you gave him, too.
Deborah from Sandy Hook, you won. Congratulations and thanks for calling. Those of you who want to stay on hold to talk about something other than the word balloon, we'll be happy to take you in just a moment. 203-333-9422. Have you ever seen the Fifth Dimension in concert?
I have not.
You've never seen Marilyn McCoo or Billy Davis, who are not technically with the Fifth Dimension, but they perform on their own. They're amazing. They also come every year to the Richfield Playhouse.
I've heard them sing, but not in person.
Oh, not in person.
Yeah.
But you know their songs.
Oh, absolutely. Those are classics.
Such nice people.
Oh, I could tell.
They're such nice people. Anyway, 203-333-9422 is our number. So, all right. So, 211 is where people should call in case they're too hot.
Absolutely. And do not hesitate, because for the next 5 days,
they're
letting us know.
It's going to be a little bit brutal.
Difficult. And they're hoping the power companies are hoping they don't have to dial back and all that stuff.
I know. So. Do you mean the rolling blackouts and,
yes,
God forbid, things like that?
Yeah.
That's what's assailed parts of Texas and California. That's a horror scene. Could you imagine? You're told, well, it feels like a third world country. When I visited the Dominican Republic, where I went many, many times, they would tell you there's no electricity today between noon and 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Good luck to you. Not that there was any AC where I was anyway. But still, the idea of no lights on, no refrigerators working, no electricity. What are you supposed to do?
Incredible. I could not imagine.
Well, we like to think of ourselves in America still as a first world country. I hope we don't get to that here. But they have gotten to that in other parts of the country. All right, so what else is on your mind? Anything else, Wayne? I got lots of news. We can just keep talking about stories and see what you want to comment on. Anything else on your mind today? We can keep going.
There were two things. One, I did have someone, an elderly white woman. I was shopping, actually, at one of the local supermarkets.
Okay.
And I guess they listened to the show because they go like, I know your voice.
Oh, so like, oh, what were you saying? I want two oranges? I mean, you're at a supermarket. What were you saying?
I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. You're just talking all the time, Wayne. You are a classic extrovert.
Man.
I understand that totally.
So
being
I hung
one
the
myself.
Phone.
Yes.
I'm in line. And she's like two people behind me. She's like, I know that your voice, and I'm bagging my stuff at this point, and I'm like, okay, I hope that's a good thing, you know. So she's, no, I listen to WICC. I'm like, oh, fantastic. I said, so I guess you enjoy the show. She says, yes. She says, you know, you always have to talk about things that are like really kind of intense, you know. She says, but you know what, we need that right now.
Oh,
it's, and I was like, kind of, I expected another statement. And she says, maybe you could tell us how the communities can have a better relationship with the police department.
And which communities does she mean? All communities? Was she talking to you about communities of color specifically?
It was open-ended. At that time, you know, I had to leave, and, you know, she still had, I'm sorry, at that time she had to leave, and I had to leave, and, like, she was there for a minute, and so... I said, you know what, let me see what I can do. So when something like that happens, I like to share that with the listeners, because the idea of the show is not just to have complaint time or, oh, boy, here they come, you know, complaining about something from the community. We need people to understand that we are in this together. Whatever happens to us is going to happen to the suburbs. You know, if crime is bad in the inner city, sometimes it goes over, but we're very much victims in our own communities from these types of predators.
It's true.
And it doesn't matter if they're black or if they're white. So we want the police department to come in and deal with them.
Well, Cecil always calls about community policing. That's his big thing from Bridgeport. But what have you observed, Wayne? We're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. Are there specific... Let's talk about Bridgeport. Are there specific things missing in Bridgeport right now, or tactics or strategies that work better than others that you want people to know work?
Well, there's no question that community policing works. Now, but what that means
is...
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Actually having the police know the community. Like, you can have more police presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can sit at the corner and they can be militaried up. You know, and so, but they don't really connect. They don't have a connection to the community. Years ago.
So it's an attitude issue.
Yeah. It's kind of like we'll take it that you care about the community when you communicate. If you're sitting in an area long enough, you know who's hanging out. You know who's doing the wrong things, you know, rather than sitting there waiting for something to happen, because that's how you get a feedback of when something happens. People willing to talk about it. Now, in a community like ours, it's always a challenge if there's a big issue to get people to come out. That builds the trust. So if you see Officer Sweeney, whether he's black or white, because there's some great white police officers, there's some great black police officers, there's some black police officers that have some issues. And it's clear that they have complaints against them as well. So this isn't something that's just like limited to that. We'll get into the extremes when someone is shot, and it turns out to be if you shoot someone 21 times or 30 times or in a traffic stop, that's an anomaly, because that's not what should happen in a traffic stop. Whereas on our side, we see that happen all the time. These shooters who are arrested, and they've killed multiple people. But if you're in a traffic stop, and you might be drunk and driving or reaching for something, and then we're killed.
Well, let's just go back to community policing, because I honestly think that, the other day there was a video of a white man who was arrested for drunken driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the video with interest because it was a situation and a person that I took an interest in, and I don't want to mention the name on the air. but it was a video that was posted. And I watched the whole thing from start to finish. There were four police officers. It was not from our Fairfield County neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was in the valley. And there were four police officers. The leading police officer, I could tell his race was white, but I don't remember the other three. I don't think that they showed themselves on the video. They were arresting a white man in his own driveway for being drunk because he had been reported to be somebody who was likely to be inebriated. Mm. And they were concerned and they wanted to search his car. And lo and behold, they eventually did. And they found all these nip bottles next mm-hmm. to him. And they arrested him. They took him away. And I was watching the interaction because I think a lot of what goes wrong in terms of policing is the way people feel who are being approached by police. Mm. A lot of times we feel when we're approached by police like we're automatically assumed to be a terrible criminal when maybe we don't think of ourselves that way, even though maybe we did do an infraction on the road. Maybe we didn't see that stoplight or we didn't stop fast enough or we're going too fast or going too slow mm-hmm. or made the turn or whatever. But there's a defensiveness often, and I was watching this interaction to see it. And what I saw was a police officer who, if you played a transcript of everything he said nothing wrong.
Okay.
Nothing wrong.
Got you.
He wasn't cursing at anyone. He mm-hmm. wasn't yelling at anyone. He wasn't even belligerent. Mm-hmm. But he was extremely firm.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely firm. Mm-hmm. And he expected that what he said was going to be acted upon with incredible detail. Mm-hmm. So it was a sobriety test, Wayne.
Okay.
And the man was asked to look left and right with his eyes only and not move his head
mm-hmm.
in order to follow the finger of the police officer.
Got you.
And I was practicing along because okay. the police officer gave him many chances to do this.
Okay.
But he kept moving his head a little bit. He mm-hmm. couldn't just do the eye thing. And I was thinking, I know I don't drink mm-hmm. and I'm sober. How mm-hmm. hard is that to do, to follow your eye without mm-hmm. moving your head? It's not that obviously easy to do.
Right.
When somebody takes a finger out of your eye shot, your head sort of trails that
right.
way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he kept doing it that way. And he kept moving his head a little bit. And the police officer kept saying to him, "You failed, you failed, you failed."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is like, "I'm trying to follow your directions."
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guy was, I think, a little bit inebriated.
Sure,
I don't really
sure,
know. You couldn't
sure,
tell the blood test
sure.
in the video. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, on paper, this officer did nothing wrong at all.
Right.
Nonetheless, the tone was a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at this wondering if it had... He was surrounded by three other police officers. This mm-hmm. guy was clearly afraid, and mm-hmm. he submitted, and he got handcuffed, and he got taken away.
Mm-hmm.
But I worried a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at that interaction between the police officers and the individual, and I worried a little bit
mm-hmm.
that maybe the tone could have erupted in something bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think tone is key.
No question about it. I think we know when someone is speaking to us respectfully, you know, and still authoritatively.
Yeah.
To say, "Hey, watch my finger. You failed. I mean, you failed." I mean,
and again, you know,
tone and inflections make a difference.
They do.
Absolutely. Many times when they're in our communities, I'm going to invite you to a community meeting one day.
Okay.
The people in the community is like, "Listen, we want you here." But when you talk to us, don't assume we're all criminals because that triggers a different psychological interaction. If you think I'm guilty of something while before I'm even dealing with you, then your attitude is going to be different.
Yeah.
If you're looking at I'm upholding the rights, you see me as an equal.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to do that. If you see this young black kid, just like you see a young white kid, there may be more compassion in there.
Yeah.
There's that subconscious thing that says, this is a black kid, white kid. No, I don't see color. Yeah, I get it. But in this society, it's so baked into so many different things. I'm watching this documentary, very famous, and this woman was on The View, and I will get you the name of the documentary. It's on Hulu. And she talks about what happened with... For women, and black women in particular, how there were so many lies that were taught in the medical industry, how black women have a higher threshold for pain, how they were actually doing the eugenics thing beyond what we know with Planned Parenthood. And they went to this whole historic thing where even like the church was involved and so on, and they were sterilizing black women, trying out all of these tests. So this is why we're, in the big picture, untrusting of things when, like, when COVID came, like, are we really getting the same stuff?
We're chatting with Wayne Winston. We'll be right back. 203-333-9422. Stay tuned.
And now, a different perspective. Lisa Wexler talks with activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We're back with Wayne Winston. You know, Wayne, there are a couple of stories lately, one local one, of bystanders who interceded to either prevent crimes or to make a crime less worse. Obviously, what happened in Indiana, that bystander is getting a lot of attention for having shot the person who was shooting up other people. And but I want you to know that the New York Times about a week ago did a deep dive analysis about just how often that happens, and it is relatively rare. It's not extremely rare, but it is relatively rare. It's like 5 to 10% of cases in which there's been a mass shooter have actually been stopped by a bystander. But, of course, it raises the question for people about, you know, having the good guys carry guns once in a while. But this is an interesting story closer to home. Mm-hmm. A good Samaritan helped stop a robbery of a woman who bought electronics on Greenwich Avenue. They were coming out of the door at 4:30 p.m. on Monday and followed by two men who saw her in the store. The police said the two subjects then attempted to forcibly take the items the victim had just purchased. No weapons were involved. The woman and her family member attempted to stop the theft, quote, physically, and then a bystander saw it and helped fend off the two men attempting to rob the woman. They fled and they ran south. The woman was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The men were described as tall and thin and under the age of 30, police said. One man was dressed in dark clothing. The other was wearing dark pants and a pink hoodie. And First Selectman Fred Camillo sent out a statement on Tuesday. Since the incident at the Apple store, he said there has been much commentary, misinformation, and disrespectful comments posted on various social media platforms. And he was referring to last August when merchandise around $12,000 was stolen from the Apple store. And early this month, police made an arrest in a smash-and-grab burglary. So, from last summer. In other words, they made the arrest from last summer. Then they talk a little bit more about Greenwich. They removed their traffic officers from the avenue in the spring of 2020 and reassigned them to a downtown electric bicycle patrol, as well as plainclothes roles for organized crime. Anyway, they talked a little bit more about crime in all of this. What I found interesting, Wayne, I'm just going to say it, and you can tell me if you think I'm whatever. I saw two articles describing this robbery.
Okay.
In one of them, and it may have been incorrect, but in one of them it described these two tall, thin men as black men. In this one, in the Greenwich Times, they do not allude to race. Now, is that a good or bad thing one way or another? What do you think?
Well, that's it's an interesting question, because in a description, if they're looking for the perpetrator, if... they and that's where you get the whole, do you know they're black, darker skinned? I mean, does that mean they're Middle Eastern? Does it African American? You know, a Latino? Because black people come in all different colors. So when you put that out there, you have a certain profile of a black person, and it would be like usually darker skin. You're not going to necessarily think a light skinned black man, someone with more finer features or something. There is a trigger that says it must be that. Now, I don't know what kind of description that was given by the person who was attacked, but that is the drawback when you do that, because it's not just black people who are in that color range. So it easily could have been someone Middle Eastern. It easily could have been someone from the Latino culture as well. So I get that they're giving a description, but, you know, darker skinned would be more accurate versus a black man.
Interesting. Okay, that's interesting. So, in other words, if a newspaper is writing, now this newspaper omitted any reference to race, didn't say white or black or anything.
Yes.
But you're saying, in general, instead of assuming that someone of darker skin is quote, black, that might feed into a negative stereotype of all black men, that it's better saying someone is of darker skin?
Yes.
In terms of a description?
Because you wouldn't say a white guy is dark. You wouldn't say...
Yeah, I hear that.
And that is an absolute...
And this way it doesn't play into pre-existing stereotypes of black men and crime.
Yes. Yes. And you still have an accurate description.
Right. You're still looking for the pink hoodie and blah, blah, blah. Right.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And it also makes it that you have to have the details. Mm-hmm. And I'll finish with this. I used to live in Fairfield. I was stopped one night about a block from my home near a park there. And the officer, it was a warm night, so I just decided to go for a walk. Pulls over. And he says, what are you doing here? Well, taking a walk. I know, right? Taking a walk. You know, I live a little bit over, you know, up the block, literally. Like, really? Yeah. Okay. He says, well, do you have any ID? And I'm like, I'm just taking a walk. I mean, am I in South Africa or something like that? And, you know, he was shining a light on me. It was about 10 o'clock at night, you know. So he puts the light down, and he says, well, we're just looking for someone around the neighborhood, you know, who's been, you know, breaking in. I'm like, well, what? What? Okay. I'm the guy, the black guy on the street. Okay. So I make a complaint. Next day, I call in. They tell me they're looking for, oh, yeah, that police officer? Yes, they're looking for a black man in that area. They got calls about it. Okay, breaking in. I said, well, can you give me a description of him? Well, you know, he's about 5'10", you know, okay, yeah. And he's got a bald head. Yeah. And I said, well, I'm 6'3", and I got hair. He said, well, you know, sometimes they can shave their hair. I was like, are you kidding me? So this is my true story, okay, of saying, yes, anyone can be stopped and for whatever reason, and that could have went any which way.
Have a good heat wave, Wayne. Have a good heat wave.
Here we are.
I'm not here next week. We're at the Cape, so we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Outstanding.